May it please the court. This case comes to the court by way of the trust account overdraft notification rule, and the OCDC audit of that overdraft led to discovery of a trust account in shambles, with personal funds mixed in with client funds, personal expenses being paid out of those client funds, and with some very strange or bizarre methods of making sure that the attorney did meet his obligations to pay his client's bills, ultimately. The case comes to you by way of stipulation, like the last one, whereby Mr. Pulaski did admit the allegations, and we jointly recommended a one-year state suspension with 2 years of probation. We included as conditions of probation ethics school, quarterly reporting to the disciplinary council, malpractice insurance, law practice.
But ethics school doesn't deal with bad judgment. I mean, you can have bad judgment, but all the probation in the world doesn't deal with.
We try to cover a little bit of everything, but you're right. Mostly ethics school is law practice management skills and those sorts
but
of things.
But taking money out of the client trust account and paying for your personal expenses, I mean, that even before there was an IOLTA, even before there was client.
Right.
All the rules, you knew that wasn't the right thing to do. And the fellow's been in practice since 1991. That's 20 years.
I think his attorney would argue that he didn't know that it was wrong, that in fact, he really was not understanding of how he should manage his trust account. And that's the way it appears. I mean, the clients, it appeared, got paid. And the third parties, I mean, some medical liens that got paid. But he was putting his own money in the trust account sometimes. It was so.
Why would
he
have a separate trust account for his business account or personal account if it was all the same thing? He did set up a trust account.
He shouldn't have.
And what do you call the trust? What's a trust account if it doesn't have trust?
He should not have done that. And I'm hopeful. I believe that he now knows that, and certainly and he's acknowledged that he needs help. He's hired a CPA to help him manage his trust account. He's already been to.
But if you didn't have the new audit rule, you'd never have known.
I think that's probably right.
Don't we presume disbarment when attorneys do this type of action?
You know, there are some old cases that say that even unintentional misappropriation, like Williams and Schaefer, they're from the 80s. And I can get you those sites, but they say that yes, disbarment is appropriate or can be appropriate even in cases of either unintentional misappropriation. Both those cases, they say that the lawyer should have known that's what happened in these that his trust account was a mess, and he should have known that the client's money was a risk, and he should have known that he was spending that.
But doesn't that take an old friend of mine, James Tippin from Kansas City, told me once, don't do anything your mother wouldn't want you to do. And that's ethics. There's no way my mother would want me to take any money away from my clients, spend it on my own expenses. I mean, there's something about ethics and good judgment, and it should follow through for our profession. We have to protect the profession.
I think the way he understood it was not. Was that he wasn't taking anything away from his clients because he was going to cover it. It wasn't even like
that's borrowing. That's what an embezzler says. That's what a gambler says. They take the money out of their client trust. They say,
right.
I'm going to win the lottery.
But you're saying he always had money in other accounts and seemed not to understand the point of a trust account?
Yes. I mean, in fact, sometimes there was money in operating accounts. I can't say that there was always enough money in the other operating account to cover. Although he has this, the one case, the Larry Tobin case, there was a very large settlement that was sitting in another law firm's account, and he argues that he had a fee coming out of that, and he had access to it just by asking his client in that case. I know that's a stretch. I'm just saying that's an explanation.
But you accept he really thought that, and then it's up to the court to figure out whether that's something that we should have practicing attorneys operate under those kind of assumptions.
Yes, I agree. I mean, we struggled with this position and recommendation in here, and not because we don't think we can improve his practice. I mean, I do think that he's trainable. I don't think it's just, I don't see evidence of just dishonesty, you know, the character issue of what you, you know, doing what your grandmother would have had you do. I do see it more as an issue of not knowing. I mean, it's ignorance to a degree that we, you know, that is scary, but I think it is the kind of thing that we can
help. Did he give you an explanation of why he had a trust account if he just sort of commingled the funds?
I think, actually, one of the great things that we see in here, no, he didn't give a good explanation as to that. But one of the things we see is this $1 million that he had helped settle, he actually made sure it got put in the Reisman Berger trust account because he said he didn't know how to handle it. I mean, so to whatever that's worth, he knew that it was, some things were beyond what he should be doing. You know, we suggested the probation.
But maybe the practice of law is beyond what he should be doing.
Well, I mean, that is for the court to decide, of course.
How long has he been practicing?
I think since 1991.
20 years.
And it appears a fairly successful practice, or not?
I don't know that I can tell. I mean, we don't have prior complaints in that time. We certainly don't have prior discipline in that time, or admonitions.
Of course, these kind of trust account things won't occur as a complaint until someone finds they don't have any money coming back to them.
Right. But on the other hand, that usually implies that eventually they get paid, and that the client, because otherwise the client would complain. I mean, that doesn't always happen. It could, if the lawyer lies about how much the settlement was, then sure they could
hire. What are under the ABA standards here, where you do not impute a dishonest motive?
A dishonest motive, uh-huh. I think we'd be at a suspension for misuse of client funds, unintentional, or I'm sorry, when the lawyer knows or should have known, puts it in suspension under 4.12. Probation is also discussed in the ABA sanctions standards, and it's hard to read those in the context of each other and figure out exactly where the ABA would come down, because they talk about probation as available in certain situations and don't really limit it.
So you read that as both being options, or existing suspension,
yes,
or state suspension with probation?
Yes.
And how did you pick here? What was appropriate?
Well,
what were the considerations?
Right. I think that we didn't see any dishonesty, that he accepted responsibility, that he does not have prior discipline, that he the clients are satisfied. The clients whose money was at risk for some time all wrote affidavits saying that they are satisfied. And looking at the Coleman case from just a couple of years ago, when the court, well, we've just had a couple of probation cases with opinions. Both of them ones where we actually opposed it, but the Coleman case was one where there was some commingling, there was no intentional theft found by the court, and probation was ordered, even though there were some couple of prior admonitions and a reprimand.
But embezzlement, generally speaking, they may not, gambling debts or whatever, they don't have an intention to steal from their clients. They're just borrowing the money so I can make some more money. I'll give it back someday. There's no intention to steal.
We didn't. Well, I don't think we even have that level here. I mean, I really don't think that we have some level of that there was even an intent to borrow.
But how can he assume it's his money?
Because he was so poor at mismanaging it, is my best answer.
Does that protect the public?
Well, that's what we hope to try to do if the court puts him on probation. But again, you know, these cases, we leave them up to the court to decide. But those are the reasons why we recommended probation here. Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Bob Chufa. I represent Mr. Pawlowski. Let me begin by pointing out that let me address the concept of misappropriation. Mr. Pawlowski has never taken a dime from his clients, nor used the money of his clients, except in a way that he thought was proper.
Wait a second. He takes money from the trust account and pays personal expenses?
Well,
he thought that was proper?
No, exactly. He commingled. He had his funds in his trust account. He didn't take his money out, put it in an operating account. made an arrangement with one client to take care of her bills, kept her settlement in that trust account, where he should have separated
it out.
Isn't
that chamfering? I mean, we're not, the ethical code does not allow you to take care of people's bills while
in
case.
They had an arrangement. Basically, she wanted him to pay her bills out of her settlement rather than disperse the funds to her. In other words, they settled the case for $90,000. He took his third. That's Tracy Campbell. It took his third, put it in, and her $60,000, and it was in the trust account. They signed an agreement whereby he would pay her bills at her request out of her settlement, disperse funds to her as she requested, and then he also would borrow these funds from her at a rate of interest.
Is there a conflict of interest in the
agreement? I think he could have established that relationship, however, he would have had to take that $60,000 out, put it in a separate account involving Tracy Campbell, and handled her business that way. He should have never left it in the trust account.
Can you address the question that was asked numerous times of Mr. Phillips? What did he think a trust account was for?
You know, I can't answer that question.
He
and I have gone round the block on it. I know John. He's an excellent lawyer. He's a very bright guy. He's absolutely the worst accountant I've ever seen in my life. It isn't that he can't learn. I don't think anybody's ever taught him how to do any even the rudimentary accounting. He's learned it now. He's figured it out. He's a quick study. But there wasn't any intent to
take it. But 20 years ago, they had the Bridge the Gap course.
Well, I think that comes because he worked for firms for years. And when he brought the money in, some clerk or intern would take the funds and they would account for it. And that was absolutely out of his realm. When he went into private practice, everything was fine until he started developing closer relationships with some of his clients, Tracy Campbell being probably the beginning of that problem, where they were friends in addition to being attorney-client, and she wanted him to take care of her bills for him out of her settlement rather than disperse the money to her, fearing that she would dissipate her own funds. So she was using John to take care of her business. The other client is Lori Tobin, where he achieved a pretty good settlement involving legal malpractice, and there's about $1,300,000 that he had immediately put into the Reitzman Berger account to keep it, basically because he felt he couldn't handle that kind of money. There was also still a pending legal malpractice case where he's the lead attorney on it, or was the lead attorney on it, where there's about $2.9 million. Once again, he's associated with other lawyers to make sure that all those funds are out of his hands until he completes this training. In fact, up to this point, from the time of the complaint until now, he's been associating himself or partnering up with other lawyers and making sure that any settlement he receives goes into the trust accounts of the other lawyers, and then he accounts for it that way.
And he's taking, or is willing to take, ethics school and have
Actually,
independent
has,
audits of his accounts.
Absolutely.
And so forth.
He's very remorseful. I there was a suggestion that maybe I should have him here today. I chased him off, only because the band's absolutely sick over this. You're not the sort of personality that ever done anything wrong in his life. He has a scrupulous bar record. He's a very bright lawyer, very nice guy. The last thing you could ever accuse him of is cheating anyone. In fact, if you look at the history of his practice as it's reflected in this appendix, you'll notice he's also very bad about getting paid. He apparently loses track of the concept that he ought to be paid for his work.
Well, he's good at getting business, apparently. He's got some pretty large results here.
What has he done in his practice to correct this this accounting problems he has?
Well, he's hired an accountant. Mm-hmm. He's been taking the CLE classes. He's been taking it, and this accountant's also been trying to train him and install Quicken Pro Books, and he's handling it that way. He's established a ledger system. He's set, there have been a request for subsequent audit, basically, when you all set the briefing schedule, and he's provided all that information. He continues to provide it. He was very forthcoming the minute the audit began, immediately turned over all his records. He's never denied that he's... That
has he ever had an accountant management audit? Not from the OCDC, but when I was at... We'd have a financial audit, but there'd also be a management audit about the...
I think that's what this accountant's been doing for him.
But not...
Currently. Okay.
And he's hired them, he's paying them.
Excuse me?
He's hired them, he's paying this
account. That is correct. He's paying it out of his own pocket, of course. But all of these clients, Tracy Campbell, Aaron Hastings, Lori Tobin, all provided affidavits. They're still his clients. He's gone down to Alabama pro hoc vici for Tracy Campbell to handle adult abuse matter for her. He continues to represent her, continues to represent Lori Tobin. Lori Tobin works as a volunteer researcher in his office. In other words, she does research. In her affidavit, she will argue the fact that there was commingling of funds, which is absolutely wrong. There was commingling of funds. She should have taken his fees out of that account, put it into his operating account. But there was never any misappropriation. It was just absolutely god-awful accounting. And some pretty poor concepts regarding taking care of your client. This idea of establishing an arrangement with your client to pay her bills and not taking her funds and putting them to a separate account, separate and clear and distinct from your trust account, is something that I, quite frankly, escaped me. I don't know why you do that, except that you're dealing with an honest man who, quite frankly, can't conceive that anyone would ever think he'd do anything wrong. He's never done anything wrong. And this idea that his lack of skill in his accounting would betray him and make him look like he's a thief. And he's not a thief. Not a thief. He never will be a thief. And he's a good lawyer. A good and honest lawyer. Takes care of his clients. I admire him for that. In fact, if you talk to any of his clients, he has nothing but... He communicates with them. He takes care of their business. He acts in their best interest. And he tells them the truth. Okay, his accounting's awful. We can fix that. And he'll still be a good lawyer. And he'll be a credit to the profession. 20 years without even a single complaint. I doubt that there's very many trial lawyers that can say that. So I ask you, consider the stipulation. The suspension with that period of probation is a humiliating thing for Mr. Pawlowski. He'll do it. He's agreed to do it. He wants to clear this up. He'll never be involved in a discipline matter ever again. I can assure you that. I know John Pawlowski, and he's a good and honorable and good lawyer. And he deserves to remain in the practice. He's never hurt anyone, never will hurt anyone.
But the trust account rule does not require intent to do harm. That's other rules. The trust account rule was to have a... But you explained it very well.
Well, we're sanctioning him for that conduct. Isn't a suspension a sanction? I mean, a suspension, even with probation, is a sanction. He's got a whole laundry list of things he's got to do to make amends for misusing that trust account. Thank you.
Judge Seidelman, a question you had about whether there was a conflict when he entered into a loan agreement with that one client, Campbell. He actually did follow a specific rule that's required. 1.8A requires lawyers, when they enter into transactions with clients other than fees, to advise them to get counsel, and that's in the loan agreement or the assignment at the time that, at the time that was made. So he did comply with that rule that, that whether he, by at least encouraging or telling.
Can you waive that comp?
Yes. The rule allows it to be waived as long as the lawyer gives the client, explains that there's a potential conflict and also explains that they should go get outside counsel. So that then the client then waives it. With transactions with clients. So, as I said, you know, we think the conditions of probation that were put in place are ones that certainly can help prevent further risk to the public, and that's why we recommended it in this case. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under submission.